So welcome to our inquiry session together. You understand the form now. The focus is on direct understanding, so understanding through our knowing of experience. It may be that some of you have something that you would like to report, given that it's the last inquiry session. You may wish to report an unfolding transformative journey, perhaps. Sometimes on retreat, we experience these shifts within, and our suffering, or much of it, seems to fall away. This is the beauty of the practice. The teachings always point to liberation and freedom from suffering, and our freedom can be directly known. And so the purpose of inquiry is to see into the nature of experience in order to release us from the very stuck places, those places where the mind grasps and clings, and where we get fixed with our identity, our desires, our views. Those listening, of course, are participating through your attention. And your wise attention and your deep and profound listening, which is very respectful, really helps the depth and the unfolding. So before we begin, just sitting quietly, and then after each inquiry, we'll sit quietly together again. Yes, anybody? Who to choose first? Let's have someone at the back and then you. Come. Yes. Sure. We need the recorder off, please. Hello.
Hey. It's working, yeah.
The view?
Actually, I came up with something else. It's kind of, it seems like everybody come up with an icebreaker to feel more confidence here. So I thought that maybe next time we should bring something like this, that can translate to Hebrew what you say in my ear.
Okay.
Yeah, so first of all, the reason that I came up here,
yes,
is to practice one of my sankara, which I have automatically fear.
Ah, yes. Yeah,
automatically fear of just coming up, getting all the attention, and okay, my mana start to work,
yes,
really hard. If it will be good as the one before me, if it will be better than the one after me, and okay, just starting to have all this papancha in my mind. So this is first of all part of my practice, just to come here.
Okay. Yes, to make the pilgrimage from there to here.
Absolutely.
It's very short.
Very short,
it's
but huge.
The fast step. Track to freedom. So right now, you can see through all of your fears.
Yeah.
They can just go. Why not?
And it's feel amazing.
Yes.
Because one of the things that happened to me when I face fears in life,
yes,
is that I realize that the fear become a strength. I feel much more powerful because I'm like, okay, it's not that bad.
Okay.
Just to.
So you have courage when you face your fears. Mm-hmm. You feel the courage. And courage is something we really need when we turn towards our fears. Okay. Say more.
So some experience that I had in the retreat, the first one, when we spoke on one-on-one, I told you that I got cold.
And you weren't feeling well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting journey for me to get cold here, mm-hmm, because for the first time I had fever. My nose and my throat, everything was just popping up. But I didn't suffer.
Oh, good news. Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Say more. So you were sick, you had a cold, you came to meditate and you were blowing your nose and you had a sore throat, but there was the absence of suffering. What brought about the change?
In the conventional thinking, it's because I didn't have to go to work and there is no rush and I can just be with the process and there is time. Mm-hmm. Time to be sick and just time to watch the process happening. But what's really been important for me is that it was kind of a wake-up call for me to get close to the body, to my body.
Yes.
And see the intelligent in the process of having fever, mm-hmm, and not trying to get off the fever, just let it be. Yes. And sweating, I was like 24 hours just sweating. Even when I sat with you, I was all wet. It was okay for me. I saw the importance of having fever and I didn't see it as a problem. I just saw it as a natural process of the body, which led me after for feeling much better on the day after.
Okay, so you didn't add anything with your mind and mental formations to the actuality of the process that was occurring. Mm-hmm. The body had fever. Yes, that's unpleasant, but it's just a process. And as you said, it's the body's intelligent response to whatever was happening. Okay, so you just let that be. You didn't add another layer of distress, such as I'm sick, so therefore I can't meditate, and I've come for the retreat, and I'm just going to waste my time, and so on. You know the pattern.
Yeah, and I just decided that I need to rest.
Yeah.
And this is what I did. And it was amazing.
Okay.
Just being with the body and not against the body.
Yes.
And
with the body, not against the body. we have a body, but we don't need to resist it in that sense.
Yeah, and I think that the fact that I didn't resist everything just... Yeah, I didn't feel good. I didn't celebrate the sickness, but it's just the dukkha wasn't there. It was much more easy and light with compassion and softness. And
so there was unpleasant sensations and feelings without dukkha, mm-hmm. without adding the mental anguish and distress and the thought processes and the imagination to it. End of suffering. Right there, that's the end of suffering. The Buddha didn't teach the end of discomfort. I'm sorry to say. It's not liberation from discomfort. We have a body and we will feel uncomfortable sometimes. But excellent that you didn't add to it this layer of mental anguish and suffering and distress and dissatisfaction. Bravo. Say more.
Another experience that I had is... I don't remember which day we did that practice, but we basically used the same technique but different intention about inhale and exhale,
yes.
about things that we want to express, experience. So about that liberation that he told us to practice.
Breathing in liberation, yeah. the heart, mind, breathing out.
I felt, I don't know if it's even possible to say it, but I felt kind of Nibbana.
Yes, you felt the absence of any problem.
Okay, so I felt Nibbana, but on the millisecond after.
Yes.
Thoughts came. I came.
Yes. And what did the I say?
It didn't say something important, but just bothering the Nibbana. but what it's made me understand is that the Nibbana is, there's no place to get to Nibbana.
Ah, yes.
It's
Nibbana is not
here.
A place. Yes.
It's just here all the time. And I bother it. That's all I'm doing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just here, like the
ground.
Yeah, the
freedom is here. The freedom is here. The Nibbana is available.
Yeah.
And I makes a mess of things.
but that's the thing. Now I want to mess the cards. Mm-hmm. Then a thought came that maybe the eye is not the problem.
Oh, say more.
Maybe the eye is not the issue because the eye is here. It's part of life.
Yes.
It's another aspect of experience.
Yes.
And what came up right after the thought is a scene of... from the movie Scarface with Al Pacino. did you see that
movie? I didn't see the movie, so you have to tell me.
Okay, so there is a scene in the restaurant that he stood up and say, you need someone like me to point and say, you are the bad guy.
Okay.
And... we all pointing for the eye as a bad.
Yes, but can the eye, because the eye is impermanent, can the eye arise and cease without any problem? That be unproblematic?
I'm not quite sure I understand.
You do, actually, because that's why you're telling me what happened. Okay, you're saying the I is not necessarily the bad guy, yes? Mm-hmm. we don't need to demonize the thought of the I process or the I process itself, because we all experience the construct of self. The self can arise and cease unproblematically. We heard during the week, the self is made up or occurs when the I rests on form, feeling, perception, mental formations, and consciousness. The I can rest there without clinging. And then the self arises and ceases, but is not a problem. In Asia, they say it's like a line drawn on water. The I is so light. We don't grasp and cling and say, this is me, this is mine, and get into a big tangle. But rather we just see, oh, there's the self arising. There's a thought arising. And like everything else, the thought is empty of substantial reality and ceases.
So the I is not a problem, has the relationship with the I is the problem.
Yes. And our relationship not only to the I, but to all things. When the mind grips and grasps and clings, that's the problem. When desire rules us, that's the problem. But just as you say, the self is, it's just a formation in consciousness and can arise and cease really freely. Really freely, without a problem. And that's what you're describing. Your turn. Sometimes self arises just lightly, and then it just fades.
Yeah, it feels much more relief and easy, not trying to avoid the I, but just understand how
it
responds.
It's a mechanism of mind. It's not personal. What we do is we make this whole process that occurs in consciousness personal. That's when it becomes problematic.
And it doesn't matter if it's the I or the body that wants some physical feeling.
We see it rather freely. Okay. Coming back to the fear.
Yes.
The question of fear. Having had this discussion, what do you see and know about fear?
That it's either make us grow or keep us stuck in borders that we can pass a whole life.
Yes. So we can live a life where we are bound to fear, or we can face the fear and explore it and see into it, deconstruct it, and not be ruled by fear. The Buddha taught fearlessness, complete and utter fearlessness. So, you had fear about coming up here, but you just walked up here and sat down. End of the fear.
What led me to do it? It's the heart mind that you're saying
yes.
Since the first day of the retreat.
Yes.
So, there was a moment that I had to decide.
Yes.
Must be a decision and active.
Yes. And you thought, shall I be free or shall I live in fear?
I just said, okay, what the heart mind say?
Oh.
And I'm like, just reflection.
Yes.
So, okay, I raise my hand.
Beautiful.
And that's it. Obviously, there is a huge story that went through from here to here.
Yes. And now?
But I thought, how I'm going to say, what I'm going to say, in which order, But then I decide that your energy and our energy here together just gonna bring up something else, something that
yes
need to come up with. So I just let it be.
And then the conversation unfolded with the help of everybody in the room. Extraordinary. So right now, sitting here, letting go of any fear. Fear about how you're viewed, fear about what people would think, fear about what you might say.
Let's feel that there is nothing to say, just to feel and enjoy.
Yeah. Enjoy the freedom of heart.
Feel light.
Yes. Light. Yeah. The very light sense of self.
Thank you for this very important experience and having the options.
Yes.
To come up and sit here with you. It's a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure for me too. Thank you.
Thank you.
A short reflection on the two inquiries today. With the first, there's the importance of remembering the deep experiences that we have on retreat. Sometimes, as we're sitting, in this case, we heard about just sitting under a tree. And then getting a sense of the void, the emptiness of all things. Then there was the transformation to gold and the idea came into consciousness, this is the Buddha, or this is Buddha nature, both emptiness and fullness. And then, of course, we also heard about joy. We need to have these experiences are precious because they're telling us something. They're telling us that we don't need to cling to anything, that we can be very free. And it's important to remember the wisdom that comes with the experience, or to understand the significance of the experience. The experience is showing us we can be free right now. And then, of course, the thought world comes in. But if we stay with the understanding that comes when self is empty of any substantial reality, we stay with the depth of that understanding, then we don't live being bound by desire. We don't live in dependency upon anything. Life unfolds incredibly freely and runs through us, if you like, or we are with life. Nagarjuna, the Indian philosopher who made some very wonderful commentaries on the Buddha's teachings, says life, freedom is not separate from life, and life is not separate from freedom. So the two are inseparable. And the next part of our understanding really needs to be to see how we can, in everyday life, understand how to live with freedom. And we understand how to live with freedom in everyday life when we see that we are not separate from all beings, from everything. And when we see we're not separate, the desire to harm does not arise because we see the humanity of the other. With the second inquiry, we heard this beautiful exploration of fear and also how to be with illness without suffering. This is wisdom, because we will all be ill at some point. And if we can learn to be with that without adding to it our mental anguish, our fears, our worries, then there's a release. We're just with the body as it's come to be. Fear relies on a separate sense of self. It only arises when we're caught in self. And the fear is constructed with beliefs, ideas, memories, and so on. There are two methods for dealing with fear, two different ways. One is the deconstruction of the self and the beliefs that support it. The other is to incline the mind to the peace, the freedom, the love, the liberation of the heart-mind that we've been talking about, I've been talking about incessantly all week. So if we just incline the mind and heart to the natural freedom, it's natural nirvana, it's here in a moment. And just in that moment, we have the taste of nirvana in that single moment. And the more moments we have, the more free our life becomes. So we see where we're clinging, we see when we're caught up, we bring release to it, and then our daily life becomes much more free. Now, this self that arises, the I can arise and cease, and it does quite unproblematically when we don't cling to it and claim it as me. So the sense of self can rest on any of the aggregates, the five things I mentioned. We can think freely. We don't have to be caught up. We can feel freely. We don't have to be caught. And so the I can be so light, it's barely there. The line drawn on water, the path of the bird in the sky. Our freedom is placeless, traceless, formless, available. Let's just sit. May all beings live with wisdom. May all beings see into fear. And may all beings know the liberation of the heart mind. So thank you for the inquiries over the days. I appreciate the sincerity and also the courage, because it's not so easy sometimes to come up here. And I deeply appreciate how wonderfully you've all practiced and listened. And so many of you have reported wonderful releases and unfolding joy and freedom. Others, of course, have been with very painful experiences, and yet there's also been a softening and an understanding of that, and some of the reports have been so absolutely precious. And so on behalf of the three of us, I want to thank you.